Hello again and praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're going to be concluding chapter 4, and we're going to try to conclude chapter 5 of the book of Mark today. We do have some letters and a lot of commentary, I'm sure, as per usual. We're actually into the tract, the piece of literature that God gave me to write a few years ago, entitled God Taught Me the Secret of Spiritual Defense, which is the same as spiritual power. Now, spiritual power is given to those of us that really believe. He said, these signs shall follow all those that believe, that we will lay hands on the sick and afflicted, cast out devils, raise the dead, and many other things, such as we can call upon the Lord to stop the rain and to cause the rain. The two witnesses will have that power to stop rain and to cause it to rain as well. And the Bible tells us that in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. But a lot of people today are saying, especially the news media, which is, they say that there's Mother Nature, but Christ is the Lord of Nature. He's the one that says to the wind and to the sea, calm down, be still, and it immediately is. And so there isn't anyone that is... There's no such thing as Mother Nature. The Lord is the God or the Lord of Nature, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's proven that time and again. And he also tells us that he's going to cause nature to curse the people on the face of this earth today that are evil, that refuse to accept his mercy. And, you know, there's a bunch of wise guys, you know, that say, well, if God is a good God, why does he do this to people and that to people? Well, it's because of their sins. And he tells us, he warns us, so if you're supposed to be such good people and such good judges of God, why don't you be good so that you don't get cursed? That's a better question, I think. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so right now let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Lord, take over. You're the Lord of nature. And Lord, of course, nature, the natural mind, is not able to understand or receive the things of the Spirit. The natural mind is not able to decipher the mysteries of God, and that's why it's important for everyone to put on the mind of Christ, to become spiritual so that they are able to decipher the many, many mysteries of the living God. We ask, Lord, that you open up the mind, the carnal minds in this world, the natural minds, being it is that you're the God of nature, you're the God of all flesh. You can open up the natural mind and cause your word to enter into the natural mind and into the natural heart, and into the natural soul of people so that they're able to understand the mysteries of the supernatural God. You're the God of the supernatural and you're the God of the natural. So open up their natural minds, hearts, souls, their spirits to receive that which you have prepared for them from before even the foundation of the world, that they might be saved. And Lord, lift the church up on higher ground, that they're able to understand and perceive your many mysteries that you've been revealing unto me, and I'm sure others. Lord, we ask that so that the church will be more powerful, and that they'll start accepting the fact that the things, the very things that you did, we are able to do today because it's the same Spirit that was living in you, that lived in you at that time and still does, and that you poured this same Spirit into us. And we're going to learn, when we learn the Word of God, we are then considered to be in a classroom or your school. And then when we begin learning the power that we have that you've already provided for us, then you send us out into the world, which is, in a sense, a laboratory where we can prove that you, the God of all nature, and the God of the supernature, the supernatural, that you still exist and that your power still exists in your servants in these last days. We'd like for you to, Lord, show that in these messages that are forthcoming, so that people begin taking hold that they're not supposed to just go to church to learn and learn and learn, ever learning but never ever able to come to the actual bottom line, the truth of that this power that we're learning about, that we learn that it has to exist or does exist in us, that we're supposed to use it for the glory of the living God. When people see these things, they glorify God. They raise their hands up and they give praise and glory to the God of nature, who is able to say to the sea, calm down, calm down. And the wind and the sea are immediately calmed. We have that power, Lord. I've tested this out on many occasions where I've called out to you to calm down the storm, and it immediately does. And the winds, and it immediately does. Huge tornadoes coming our way, and they were turned away from us, and the rain immediately stopped. And then on the other hand, when there was a drought and people were cows were dying out here in the Texarkana area and all over the south, and some of the people asked me to pray, and I did, and instantly the rain came down, and it went on for days until people were saying, turn it off. Lord, you're the God of nature, and we are filled with your supernatural power, the power of the living God, who is the God over nature. And it's a simple thing for us to pray to you and ask you, Lord, to shut the heavens or to open them or to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Why should it seem a thing incredible that the living God's power is able to raise the dead? In Colossians, in the first chapter, Lord, your word tells us through the Apostle Paul that all things are held together by your word. Everything in the universe, everything in this world is held together by your power, the word. And therefore, people that are estranged, people that have mental problems or have physical problems or anything, are able to be held together if they trust in your power. And we ask, Lord, that power, that faith, the faith that it takes in order for people to be able to receive such power from you, we pray that it'll increase today so that they'll be closer to being able to allow you to do a supernatural work in them in this world today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Okay, so what's you got letters here? What's the first letter from?
From Chipata, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they say.
Dear Pastor, greetings to you in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Being silent for a long time is because the amazement of the numerous gifts you are sending to me and the whole congregation. I don't have a strong word to thank you. I received the 12 t-shirts you sent me. May the Almighty God bless you and your ministry.
Now the Lord told me to send t-shirts to put our logo on the t-shirts, because so many people were saying that I was dead and that the church is finished, that the government wiped us out. No, the entire world government has been after this work that the Lord has given me to do here on this earth, and we have prevailed over them. And many people in the government that has attempted to destroy this work, they slowed us down a little bit, just as they hindered the Apostle Paul for a while. However, we're bigger today than we ever have been. We're worldwide. So don't let Satan sell that bill of goods to you. You become a distributor of our literature, and you'll get some t-shirts and sweatshirts also, okay? But more than that, you'll get eternal life, and you'll get great rewards in this world from the Lord. You'll be blessed more abundantly in this world, and for sure blessed eternally in the kingdom of heaven, the best place in the universe. All right, then what?
Pastor, many have also asked for them in my congregation for evangelism to the ministry. Can you kindly send more? Pastor Tony, I have a moving testimony of a young man, aged 29 years, Mr. Marombo, from Katit District, Eastern Province. It is 100 kilometers away from Chapada. He is number 10 in the family of 12 children. He was engaged in witchcraft activities since 1998. This was because he was poor and needed quick money, so he joined a bad group of witch doctors. He was by magic thrown into the sea, being cooked in a big pot, and he has a lot of tattoos on his body. This made him kill his own father and other 10 people for him to become rich. But this year, 2005, he met Jesus after reading a lot of your tracts, and on the 2nd of July, 2005, he was delivered from this bondage and confessed. We got all the charms he had and burnt them. He is now a born-again Christian, and he is with our congregation. Looking forward into your consideration to the request, yours in his service, Reverend Columbus, from Chapata, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, you see, no matter how possessed a person is, as the person in the chapters that we're reading here, where this man who stated that his name was Legion because there were many of these demons inside of him. Legion is in the Roman army, could be up to 6,000 men, and there could have been 6,000 demons in them. And the Bible doesn't say that there were 2,000 swine that he cast those demons into. It says about 2,000 swine. So if 2,000 demons, over maybe 6,000 demons, could live in one man between two, it's for sure that 6,000 of them could have been cast in to 2,000 hogs. Let's face it, if 6,000 demons could live in one man, then for sure those 6,000 could live in 2,000 pigs. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we get that straight. Then what?
The next one's from El Salvador, Central America.
All right, praise the Lord. Listen, isn't that magnificent, the power of God? People should worship and praise him for his power. Only such power resides only in the Almighty God. And such power resides only in people. It has to be the power of God that God is living in. We are the incarnation, the continuation of the incarnation of the living God in Christ in us. And therefore we have the power to do all the things. These signs shall follow them that believe, casting out devils. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
World Pastor of the Holy Alamo Church, cordial greetings to you, as well as to your family and all the holy brethren who help in your ministry. It is a great privilege for us to address ourselves to you, hoping that God Almighty will fill you with many blessings. We take this opportunity to thank you for the literature you sent us for the revival meeting we held here. We passed the literature out to the people, and many of them gave their hearts to the Lord because of the testimonies in the literature. The truth is that a lot of the brethren here are short on finances. But when they receive the literature, it is a great inspiration to them. The people are requesting Bibles from us, so please can you supply us with 125 Bibles, as well as literature, messages on tape, and if you have anything on CD as well. Also, Brother Paulino is in charge of teaching the people here, and so he is requesting that you send him, if possible, a Spanish Bible dictionary. We end here waiting and hoping for your reply to our request. Please send all the materials to the address on the envelope. Paulina from De La Libertad, El Salvador, Central America.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord casts out demons, and the Lord just has won all these souls. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, where's the next letter?
It's from Kitwe, Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Servants of the Lord, you are truly a blessing to me and the world at large. Your messages are so powerful, motivational, and inspiring. You are not a man-pleaser, but a God-pleaser. Man of God, I would love to work under your leadership. I want to be trained by your ministry and serve in your church. Accord me an opportunity, please. You are my spiritual father currently. I feed under your table. You have well-baked bread from heaven. Do whatever you can within your power to help me serve my Jehovah God. I am also one of the distributors of the world newsletters. People are being saved in great numbers by your literature. These are powerful soul-winning tools for evangelism. Send me many of your materials for distribution. Yours in God's army, Pastor Type from Kitwe, Zambia, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's make sure that he does get all the literature that he needs. And we just thank and praise the Lord that people are responding to the gospel. People that respond to the gospel are certainly not those that are by the wayside, because those that are by the wayside are the ones that are not responding to the gospel. They're unresponsive. And they're not, we can see that a lot of them are sticking because they've been distributors for years. So they're not impulsive people that receive such the great gift of eternal life and eternity in the kingdom of heaven and a complete escape from hell and the lake of fire, but they are continuing on, which means that they're not impulsive people at all. The impulsive ones, they are the ones that are sown on stony ground. They receive the gospel very quickly because they love the rewards, but when persecution comes, trials and tribulations, say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to live a secure life here for a few days, and then I'm just going to give it up. So then they wind up before the judgment bar of the powerful God who holds everything together in the universe with his great power. They're very sad and sorry and screaming their heads off because they're being cast into hell and the lake of fire. And they can't recant. They have to stay there forever. There's no way that they can get out. They're there, and they're going to scream forever, and they're not going to have any rest forever. And I believe this with all my heart, soul, and mind. That's why I have such power in the Lord, not only to preach the gospel, but the signs of those that believe follow me around. I pray for people many times all day long almost, and they get healed if they have this faith. But even the Lord himself could not heal people in his own country because, being it is that he's God in the flesh, still, you're not a prophet in your own house. Or people that knew you before, they just don't seem to think. They say, he was a carpenter, that's all. But when people touched him, you know, a woman that has a bloody issue, the time of her period is in the Bible deemed unclean, and she's not even supposed to be in the crowd. And that's why the woman that was had this issue of blood coming out of her was so frightened when she reached out and touched the Lord, because she knew she was unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd. But the Lord felt virtue or power, healing power, come out of his body, and he knew that somebody had reached out. He knew exactly who it was, and he just wanted to see that if in her fear that she would confess, you know, yes, I'm unclean, and I wasn't supposed to touch you, I wasn't even supposed to be among the crowd here. And she did, and the Lord blessed her and stated because of her honesty and because of her faith that she knew that he was the God of nature. He was the supernatural God that could heal any natural evil thing that's wrong with your body, he could still the waters and quiet them down and the wind, and that he could do anything. He could raise the dead, and they all saw these things happening right before their very eyes. And so he blessed her and stated, you know, that commended her for her faith, and she was completely healed. She wasn't unclean any longer. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, so now we're going to start reading some of the scriptures. We'll continue on from chapter 4 in Mark, and then we'll go on to chapter 5 if we have time. Okay, what verse are we on today?
Verse 33.
Okay, give everybody a little bit of time to get to chapter 4 in Mark, verse 33. Okay, and I'm watching people here, and so I can assume that when they find it, that you should be able to have found it as well. Okay, there's still... Now, did you find it? Okay, so we're going to assume that you folks in Radioland have found chapter 4 of Mark, verse 33. Okay, let's begin.
And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it.
Yeah, in other words, to receive it. In other words, not... be unresponsive, but to be responsive to it, and not to receive it impulsively, but to receive it into the good soil. Not to be preoccupied when you're hearing the gospel, because there isn't any words that can bring the vibration of eternal life into your soul in this entire universe, but the words that you're hearing now. All right, the word from the God himself. These words are God. These words are the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to receive them in order to have eternal life and life more abundantly here in this world. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples.
Okay.
Verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind.
Okay, now he's going to show them that he really is the Lord. He's teaching them that he was in the schoolroom. Out in the class, now he's taken them out to show, give them a demonstration of his tremendous power, that what he was teaching them was true. Okay, now we're out in the laboratory. Okay, now let's hear what goes on. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full.
Yeah, it's almost sinking, they thought. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow.
The hinder part, if you will, please. Then what else?
And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Verse 39.
Don't you care that we're sinking here, that we're going to go down into Davy Jones' locker, down into the sea, into the brink? I'm from the Navy. I was in the United States Navy, and we use those terms, Davy Jones' locker and the brink. Okay, then what?
And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Okay, praise the Lord. Is that wonderful?
Amen.
All creation is held together by the Lord's power. Read Colossians 1:17. Isn't that something that the world is held up? I mean, we're spinning around in mid-air, if you will, and so are all of the stars and the moon and the sun and everything. And all this is held up by the power of God. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Now, we'll just read it now. Colossians, first chapter, verse 17.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Are held together. Okay, now read some before that. Start at verse 1.
Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now see, this is written well after Jesus had proven himself in the laboratory to be able to do all things. Amen? So now he is educated more into the fact that Jesus is the one that created all things. and he holds all things together. And so if you're all upset and you're really troubled and you can't even stand watch, if you're in a church and you can't even stand watch, you're just altogether not together. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to get in the Spirit of God who holds all things together so that you can be held together to be considered a faithful servant, so that people don't think that you're not of the Lord, or some people think, you know, that you're a little weakling or something. And we in the church don't want to let people believe that we're weaklings. We want the people in the world to see that we are the power, are the actual power of God, and we, through Christ, have the power over nature. Amen?
Yeah.
And we are able to have power over sickness, disease, infirmities, all these different plagues that are coming on the earth right now. And also we have the power to stand watch, you know, over the things that the Lord has given us, so that we can prove ourselves a watchman. Amen?
Amen.
And people rightly dividing the word. When you rightly divide the word in the classroom, that tells us to watch. Amen?
Amen.
And to be diligent and vigilant and full of zeal to do the things that the Lord has commanded us to do. And if you don't, then you're a nothing in the world. So you can't stand up and say, I'm a man of God, you know, if you can't even stand watch, or if you can't keep the commandments. Keeping the commandments is the rule. If you break one, you've broken them all. So don't think you're any big man, or that sitting in a fast car, and chasing somebody if they do something wrong to the church. Get license plate numbers and report them to the authorities if they do anything wrong. We hear of so many churches being burned and things like that. If they'd had watchmen, that wouldn't have happened. Amen?
Amen.
Or if they, you know, to have a watchman, just somebody out there sleeping in the automobile, that isn't a watchman. Or somebody sitting in the back of the church, you know, doing a computer and then saying they're on watch. That is, like, so ridiculous. It's unbelievable. But come on, let's go ahead and read some more here. Amen?
Yeah. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints.
Yeah, love means the keeping of God's commandments. And it's wonderful to hear people that have faith. Faith means that you read what the Lord says in the classroom, and then you get out of the classroom and you start performing the things that the faith has given you, that the Word of God has given you, so where your faith is built up to where you can actually go out and do the work of the Lord. It isn't you doing it, but it's the faith in God living in you, that you know that God is going to perform all the things that He says He will. Because He's God, and He's the head of everything. Amen? And all things are held together by Him. And so if you don't have faith in that, well, then you better get back in the classroom and start studying the Bible some more so that you can see the things that the Lord has already supplied for us, that He's already provided for you and I. And then when you finally receive that, when you finally take that into consideration, you finally respond by the faith it starts taking hold in you, then you can get out of the classroom, you graduate, you can get out into the field, into the laboratory, and start doing the works of the Lord. You understand? Okay, capito, comprende, verstehen, understand. Okay, then what?
Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel.
The hope that's laid up for you. You know by faith that that gives you the hope from that which you've learned in the classroom or in the school, learning the word of God, that you've got great hope that you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. Hope doesn't mean that it's something that you imagine is going to happen, but by faith you know that you've got great hope. Therefore, you're not that upset when you're going through trials and tribulations, because you've got faith has given you hope, true hope that you're going to make, that you've made it, you've got it made, so long as you continue on in faith, all right? And the faith comes from the classroom, and then you see that you have the faith and that you have the power and that you have great hope because the miracles are being done by you in the laboratory, out in the world, out into the field. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you.
In other words, the miracles bring fruit. Your preaching and your teaching, after you receive the faith and you're not a novice anymore, you see souls being saved. You see miracles happening, and that gives you more fruit and more faith. The more you see these things happening, your faith just keeps building and building. Because faith comes by the word, and then the results of the word, the faith that you have in the word, you see that happen. So that's all part of the word being performed right before your very eyes, and God doing it right through you. The age of miracles is not over. This is just that was just the beginning. We're the mop-up crew. We're the final ones here on earth that is doing the big job for God. People talk about, this miracle that happened years ago. We have miracles happening over here all the time. It just becomes natural. It's a natural, supernatural thing that just occurs all the time because we've been studying for years, and we've been operating on the front lines for years, and it's not unusual to see these things happen for us. And there's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they deny the power. They're still in the classroom. That's all they hear is the redundant classroom things. It's like they're learning how to read, write, and spell over and read, write, and spell. And they keep learning how to read, write, and spell, but they never go out and read anything, and they never write anything, or they never spell anything, or they never learn, they've learned math, and they keep learning math, and finally, but they never put it to work. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but we learn these things, reading, writing, arithmetic, math, all sorts of things in the Bible, but what we're learning is the power of God, and that the Lord wants His power to operate in and through us, so that the people of the world can see that He still exists, and that His power is living in human beings, and that that's the way that God operates in human beings. He says that He is the head, and we are His body, that He does His work in here on earth. And so if we're faithful to Him, and if we have studied the Word well enough, well, then we, and we prayed enough and everything, then we got to put our prayers to work. We got to go out. God's not going to do it for us. He wants to do it through us. Amen?
Amen.
And He wants us to get busy and to exercise that faith that we learned in the schoolroom out in the laboratory, so He can give glory to the living God, that He exists and that He's living. We're the incarnation of Him. We are the continuation of the Lord's incarnation right here on this very earth. So, if you've learned the Bible, then let's start putting it into practice. Amen?
Amen.
Start preaching and getting people saved, and start teaching them also the same things that the Lord is teaching you through me. All right? Now, this is Bible, and you'll see that this is the real Bible. The Lord taught His disciples, and they went out, and He says, raise the dead. And they did. And lay hands on the sick and afflicted. And they did. And they recovered. Amen?
Amen.
And they cast out demons. And they marveled, that they were casting out devils, that we have power and authority over these devils. And we do too. Those guys were no better or worse than we are. Amen?
Amen.
If we're walking in the Spirit, that is perfection. Because God, if God is operating us, then we're perfect. So don't let anybody say that there's nobody that's perfect. Because those that are instruments of God, according to God, we're perfect, because we're not walking after the flesh. We're walking according to, by faith, what we learned in the classroom. we're walking by faith and not by sight. We don't let the things that we can see influence us in one way or the other. We just remember what we've learned in the classroom. We let the Lord operate in and through us, and the works of God are seen and God is glorified because we don't take credit for it ourselves. We just say that the Lord taught us these things, how to be vessels that are empty of anything other than Him. And He alone is living in us and operating through us, and so therefore we are perfect. Okay? There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh. There's no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit, that not part-time, but all the time the Spirit is dwelling in and through us. We don't want to offend God by allowing the Spirit to go out of us from time to time. That is by saying, God, you take off for a while and we're going to live now in the flesh. No, you're not going to get into heaven that way. The Bible, the Lord wants to live in us all the time. How would you like it if somebody came to your house and told you, take off now for a while, we want to live in here? I don't think you'd like that very well. The Lord is living in your body. That's His temple, and it doesn't belong to anybody. You don't even belong to yourself. It's the Lord that lives in there, and don't let anyone. That's why you have to put on the full armor of God, is to defend the temple of God. Don't let any evil thing enter into the Garden of Eden. That's what the Lord told Adam. He says, now don't let anything. He said, you're to guard this garden here. Each one of us are many gardens of Eden, but it's not really many because God Himself is living in you, and you have to take that serious. Now, if you don't guard your own soul, well, then shame on you. Shame on you. Because you're going to be judged for that, for letting the devil come and kick God out. And then when you get into a crisis, then you say, oh, hurry, God, come back in and kick the devil out again. Lord's not going to do that. He's had enough of that. And so take up the cross. Deny yourself and let Christ, with the Father by the Spirit, live in and through you, so that the miracles that the Lord wants to perform in and through you are manifested in this world, and people can see the power of God, which God wants to show in and through you, so that His name and that He can be glorified. He is the God, the master in control of nature. If you see what they say is a natural disaster, it's because the master of nature has allowed it to happen. Or that you haven't called on Him when you see a natural disaster coming and you just say, oh, we're dead, we're finished. That isn't faith at all. Just call upon the Lord to cease the storm, to quiet down, storm. Quiet down, wind, in the name of Jesus. Jesus did this. Hallelujah. Amen. And it will calm, and it will be still. All right, then what?
Since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth.
The grace of God, the power of God, grace of God in truth. In other words, after you've learned in the schoolroom that the grace of God is the power of God, that's the truth. Okay? Because all power in heaven and on earth is Christ. God doesn't have any power without Christ. Christ is the power of God. Why? Because we can't get into heaven. There's no power that can get us into heaven unless we believe in Christ. So He's the power. Amen?
Amen.
God said, you don't believe in Christ, you don't get in. So He's the power that you have to believe in. If you go into your house, you say, well, the power to light this building up is just this little switch. Well, we don't believe in the little switch. You know, just turn the switch on and you got the power. Amen?
Amen.
So you may think Jesus is little, but He's the switch. Amen?
Amen.
You want to get into heaven, you better pay attention to the switch, to Jesus. Because all power in heaven and on earth, He's the light of the world. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the way to heaven, the truth to heaven, and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No one can get into the kingdom of heaven but through me. So you better have faith in him. Amen?
Amen.
These are things that you learn by reading the Bible, by being in the classroom. When you get that past that point, that's just the juvenile point, is just remembering that he's the Lord. Amen? He's the power. Then you can go on to more faith by reading the rest of it, where you realize all the ways that you can heal people, but let God heal people through you by his power in you, and then raise the dead and to stop the storms and so on. Now, stopping the storm is given to certain people. Not everybody has that power or to cause it to rain, but I do. I have that power, and I've proven it many times. And it's not my power. It's the power of God living in me that has given me that ability to be able to do that, as he did Elijah. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you people have seen it many times here, right?
Amen.
Boy, a time when he was just thundering and lightning and storming, and the rain was coming down so violent, the trees outside were wigging and wagging back and forth. And I prayed to the Lord, and all instantly the storm stopped around us here, and everybody says, they all ran from this conference table that we have here, stuck their head out the door, and they heard the birds chirping outside, and there was a calm all around us. You could see there was blue sky around us, but outside of that circle right up above us, you could see rain coming down all around us, but outside it was calm and the birds were chirping. And there's something about birds. They know when the storm is over. Amen?
Amen.
The birds and the worms and all that sort of thing. All right? And so have as much sense as the worms, and have at least more sense than a bird brain, and believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, you're insulting us by saying that we don't have as much brains as a bird. Well, yeah, that's right. If you don't believe in God, then that's true. Well, but we don't know the Bible like you. Well, then get into the Bible. Get into the classroom, kiddies. All right? And let's get right with the Lord. Start getting faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So if you read the Word and you hear it, that you receive it into you by faith, that you're not unresponsive to it, but you say, this is fantastic. I really believe this. I'm going to receive it so that I can have this supernatural power, that I can be saved and get into the kingdom of heaven. And I'm not going to do it in a impulsive way. I'm going to keep it going until the day that I die, because I know if I let it go, I'm going straight into hell when I die. And you never know. None of us know when we're going to die. So I'm going to keep my faith going and my hope until the day that I die, which might be tomorrow, or which could be just a few minutes from now. You never know. Amen?
Amen.
So grasp on to faith. You know, so many people devote their lives to studying all kinds of things so that they can have a career, and then when they're halfway through the university, they die, and then they go out to hell and into the lake of fire. Invest your time while you're young, while you're in your youth, to learn, get into the Lord's classroom, learn all of his word by faith, and realize that you're learning it so that you can have power in the Lord, so that you can exercise your faith by showing all the signs and wonders, these things that follow those that believe, that have received everything from the classroom, so that you can be a real example of the living God living in human flesh in these last days. All right, go ahead.
Verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. For this cause we also...
So your love in the Spirit. Because you cannot show the love of God unless the Spirit of God is living in you. Because it's the Spirit of God in you that shows the love. Our flesh doesn't love. Our flesh loves itself, and so we have to have the selfless kind of love to distribute, to help other people, and to, when you see them sick, when you have the faith, don't attempt to do it if you don't have the faith. A lot of people, I remember when I first got saved that I saw a cripple walking down the street and I wanted to go and pray for him real bad. I didn't know whether I had the faith enough. I thought I'd be embarrassed if I prayed for the person and they wouldn't be saved. It was right on Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood. And so the devil just tossing back and forth. I was just a baby Christian and I didn't know. I thought, well, this is going to be very embarrassing, and I don't really know if the man has faith. And not only that, the man is not coming to me for healing, or he doesn't know that I am a born-again Christian. You know, the people that got healed are the ones that came to Christ. So it's kind of wrong, you know, for you to rush up to somebody that you see and then lay hands on them and do that, because they don't, even Christ in his own hometown couldn't lay hands on you if they don't recognize you as a servant of the Lord. But when people start coming to you in a church and you start praying for them and they get saved and they get power and then they get healed, well, then the word gets out pretty fast. And then people start coming to you. And then when they hear of all these things and they see all the other miracles that are happening through your ministry and through yourself, it's God in you doing it. Well, then they'll get healed, all right? That's the way to do that, all right? Praise the Lord. Then what?
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
That's it, the knowledge of His will. His knowledge tells you that you have to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. In the classroom so that you can get out and start performing the miracles. Amen?
Amen.
And the main thing is to win souls, right?
Amen.
And they do get one when you lay hands on them and they get healed. That's one way that a lot of people get saved. Then what?
Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience.
See His glorious power. Power over nature. Hallelujah. The supernatural power to raise the dead. That's power over nature. To still the storm, okay? And the wind. What manner of man is this that he can actually has power over nature? Is what they were saying. Over wind and the waves. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So He wants us to all have power as well. These words were not just for those people in that day and age. They're written down so that people of every age can receive faith and the Spirit of the Lord so that He can do His work in and through you. This is for sure. I'm telling you the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. I'm reading it, having her, my wife, read it right out of the Bible. Okay, now go ahead.
Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness.
Yes, so in other words, when you know you've got this power, you can be patient. Amen.
Amen.
You can be joyful because you know you got salvation. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the power. If you don't have the power, worry. Get into the classroom. Get the faith so that you can have the power. Amen.
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
See, we are partakers of life eternal with the saints, with the rest of the saints that went on before us. Then what?
Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created.
Okay, listen to this. By Him, by Christ, all things were created. Then what?
That are in heaven and that are in earth.
Everything in heaven and in earth was created by Christ, by the Word. Christ is the Word of God. All right? And so His Word is able to make you saved. His Word is able to give you faith. His Word is able to give you power. Amen?
Amen.
So, because everything was created by His Word, and so therefore, if you're a type of person who's just so nervous all the time, and you're like unglued and you can't really even hold your composure, or the people have said that you're crazy. Crazy is nothing more than a person that doesn't have Christ, the Word of God, in them. Because the Bible says, all those that keep their mind stayed upon the Word of God, they shall have perfect peace and a sound mind, not a crazy mind, all right? And that goes for the people in government. They're acting so crazy today. You know, the Bible says that the leaders of nations would be mad in the last days. And the reason for it is they're renouncing the very power of God, the Word of God, that could hold them together. If God, with His Word, holds all the universe together, everything is held together by His Word, how much more can it hold you, you leaders of nations, together? And how much more can it save your soul? Amen?
Amen.
But let's face it, you know, it doesn't make any difference who you are, who you think you are. All of us are going to have to die one of these days. Our bodies are going to die. And our spirits are going to go somewhere. You're going to either go to heaven or you're going to go to hell in the lake of fire. So get the Word into you. Be held together by the power of God, the Word of God. Okay, then what?
Visible and invisible, whether they be...
No, read the beginning of that sentence again.
For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist.
All things are held together. There consists, there's a glue, a cohesiveness, a consistency. Everything is held together. The sun comes up because of Him. At a certain time, we can predict it. The moon is going to come out. We can tell if it's going to be a full moon, half moon, quarter moon, crescent moon, whatever. All these things because Jesus is dependable, we can depend on the way He set nature up. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now let's get back into Mark.
Verse 40. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?
Yeah, well, just because of a little silly old storm and wind. Amen?
Amen.
Well, why didn't you get... I just got you out of the classroom. Didn't I tell you who I was? Didn't you believe? How come you don't have faith to believe what I taught you in the classroom, in the schoolhouse? Hmm? Good question. Amen? Okay, then what?
Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?
Well, because He's the Lord of nature. Amen?
Amen.
Not Mother Nature. Christ, amen, is the Lord of nature. All right? And I have Christ, and I have Him to control nature when I ask Him to, and He does. And He'll do the same for you. I mean, He's no respecter of persons. Get right with the Lord. Come on. If you don't have that kind of faith, start studying the Word more. Amen?
Amen.
As there's all kinds of rewards far beyond your imagination. We're not going to be saved by imagination. We're not going to stay out of hell by imagination or the lake of fire. Or we're not going to get into heaven by imagination. We have to have faith. Amen?
Amen.
And faith has got to come from reading the Bible and hearing it. So get in there. Okay, friend? Then what?
Chapter 5, verse 1.
Okay. And go ahead.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Verse 2. And when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Verse 7. And cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. verse 9, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Verse 11, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Verse 12, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." Verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave.
All right, praise the Lord. And they ran, read the next verse.
And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea.
All right, see, so Jesus rules over the natural and also the supernatural. He tells spirits where to get off. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, Jesus was in the Bible. We see that he was amazed when he saw people that had great faith. But he also was angered when he encountered stubborn disbelief. God is angered when you don't have faith. So get into the Word of God so that you're not going to anger the one that keeps you and the entire universe glued together. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I see our time is up today, so I'll tell you what. Let's those of you that would like to have this power or start out to have this power to get in, we can get you into the classroom today by you just saying this prayer. Amen? We can get your soul saved. We can get you right with the Lord. You have to do it, though. So say this prayer. Say it to God and mean it with all your heart and soul. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up and start praising the Lord. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for these words that you spoke through a prophet here, that you spoke on how I can receive faith and power from you, how I can receive the power of salvation to be resurrected from the actual dead works that I do. Lord, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to receive all the power, Lord God, that you have for me. I thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen." Okay, now just continue praising the Lord and read the Word. And until tomorrow, where we can start off again with the remainder of this message, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord real good. Amen.